baseball, Nitschke would say, "Excuse me, coach, you're going too fast." That's so funny. But just picking back on Vince Lombardi, but what's important to understand is that we need to go back to the basics. We need to come from, you know, a basic mindset that we're open and ready to receive. And there's a concept out there, the Zen Buddhists call this beginner's mind. And beginner's mind is something that you work with a lot when you work in mastermind groups, because you want to come into a mastermind group with truly an open mind, no judgment, no preconceptions, no attitudes. You want to come with that beginner's mind, which means you're not always applying all your knowledge and everything to every aspect of what happens. So the incredible importance of this is to get the idea of what a beginner's mind is. It's a refreshing concept. It's about wiping the slate clean. It also comes as a core of how I teach listening skills, and Carol McCall is try to get rid of all those preconceptions and notions and judgments, prejudgments that we carry around with us, so that we can truly hear another person. Instead of always trying to fix them or make them better or do different, shift this, or we can really hear where they're coming from and ask them questions and empower them to make some great decisions and changes in their life through just asking questions instead of casting judgments. So coming from beginner's mind, it kind of gives you the concept that if we're starting from beginner's mind, now we start looking at what are our aspirations, what do we want to accomplish in life? What are our goals in life? How big is our dream? And one of the quotes that came out of the book was, no matter how great your aspirations, how tall the dream, and great the leap it means, the eternally repeated truth of the slight edge is that it is always built of small, simple steps. So it goes back to, what are the small, simple steps you need to take to accomplish the incredible results that you're trying to accomplish in your life? Now it's time for you. It's time for each one of you on this call, each one of you read the book. Now it's time for you to do some self-analysis and say, what are those simple steps I need to take every day to make those kind of differences in my life? So what Jeff Olson does is he goes through five different areas of your life to talk about what it, you know, picking on each one of those. And I actually attached to the back of the outline a one-page sheet for you to fill out for each of those areas of your life. And you can fill it in, use it as a worksheet to just, you know, pencil in what results you see or what you want to, you know, go through to achieve the results that you're trying to affect in your life. And let's start off and go through each category so you can understand them. They're fairly simple categories, but, you know, some of you might have trouble being creative with ideas around it, so I'm going to run through those just to help you start flowing your juices so you start really thinking and motivating yourself to do this. The first one is the slight edge in your health. And his quote that he kicks that chapter off in is, he says, "Tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are." And, of course, a lot of you people have heard that before. You didn't know where it came from, but now you have the author of that statement. And it's really critical, we all agree, especially all of us in Manatech, because that's one of the leading guiding philosophies you had in the first place to be attracted to Manatech. What you truly believe, how critically important it is for us to step up and take care of our own health. So we believe that what we eat is who we are. In other words, if we eat junk food, we're going to have a junky body. You know, you got to feed you. If you feed yourself nutritional things, organic foods and good water and all the positive things, then you're going to become that positive, healthy person that you're pursuing to become. The foundational importance of everyday health is one of the most commonly known truths of human existence. But at the same time, it's one of the most commonly and blatantly ignored. And that really, that statement coming from the book really meant a lot to me, because it is so true. It's like there's this truth right smack in front of us. We are what we eat, yet it's one of the most highly ignored. And if you don't believe it's ignored, all you got to do is go hang out at a McDonald's for a day and just watch the flow of traffic. Or go to, my other favorite place to go is these smorgasbords. You pay one price and you can get all you can eat. I'm not kidding you. You sit at one of those for more than an hour and you're just going to be sick to your stomach. You're not going to be able to stand it. We have some locally here with Chinese food, and I'll tell you, the people that walk into these things who are 200, 300, 400 pounds overweight overwhelm you. They overwhelm you. The foundational importance of everyday health is one of the most commonly known truths of human existence, and at the same time, one of the most commonly and blatantly ignored. So if we're talking about health, what are some of those simple disciplines that we need to do around our health? Well, all of you on this call are already doing one of them. You're taking supplements. Some of you aren't even doing that very well. Some of you, sometimes you take them, sometimes you don't. So you treat, one day's okay, maybe you skip Manitech products for 2 or 3 days. We have a lot of people who do that. I hear it out in the field all the time. And I'm like, does that mean you stop drinking water for a day or two? Or I mean, what is it about you that it's a discipline that you do every day because you acknowledge the greatness of what it is? It's not how Ambertose is going to make you feel tomorrow or the next day or the day after. Some of you feel immediate relief when you take your Ambertose because you're suffering from something. But for those of us that come from total health, it's hard for me to say I see a difference with Ambertose every day. Now, going through menopause right now, I can guarantee you I see a difference with taking Plus every day. So when I don't take it, I know I have a difference in my life because I directly feel it. But that doesn't always happen around Ambertose. So we have to start looking at, we can make that common statement about, hey, I know the little steps I need to take. I swallow my supplements every day. And maybe that's one of the things you list on your worksheet, that you take your supplements every day. And you make a list. Get very specific about what those supplements look like. What are the ones I'm taking every single day? They may just not be Manitech. You might be taking a great omega-3 source, or some, you know, there might be something else that you're doing outside of the realm of what Manitech supplies, because Manitech's just, you know, one of the missing puzzle pieces of the puzzle of total health. Taking Manitech in and of itself is not going to make you a healthy person. It's a contribution to your overall health. You need to take upon yourself disciplines that are going to help create that health, in addition to just swallowing supplements. So what are some of those other simple steps we can take? Well, one of the simple disciplines could be to work out every day. You know, do 20 to 30 minutes of exercise every day. Now, this is one that Jeff Olson picked up in his book, and he said, you know, I was going to pay a price. I mean, it's going to be painful, and that's one of the things he puts on his worksheet. What's the price I'm going to have to pay? What is the price I have to pay? One of the prices you pay for swallowing Ambertose every day is you have to pay a price because you have to buy the product. That's number one. You're not getting it for free, or most of you are not. Okay? Number two, you have to build a discipline. So you have to give up. When you build a discipline in your life, are you not forfeiting something? Absolutely. And I'll tell you what you're forfeiting. You're forfeiting a little bit of your freedom. Now you can say, no, I'm not, Mary Jo, because I'm free to discipline myself. And I agree with that. But when you look at the core of it, you're saying, I'm disciplined and I'm building this as structure. Whenever you put a structure in your life that you're going to do every day, that takes away the freedom to choose what you're going to do that around that, because you're already committed to doing something. So it's a commitment. So you could write that down as a price to pay, that one of your prices is you're forfeiting a little bit of freedom, a tiny ounce of freedom in your day, because you're sacrificing that time to put those products in your mouth and you're going to do it every day. And I'm going to pay, my other price to pay is I'm going to buy these products every single month. That's another price to pay. Now, when you talk about price to pay, when you talk about exercising every day, what is that price? For some of you, it's very painful to exercise. And it will probably be painful for you to start exercising again. But the beautiful thing that happens is once you can start exercising again, and when you get into a routine like I've been in for 3 years, 3.5 years, you know, I pay a price when I don't exercise. So it's critical for me to get that exercise pattern in my life every day. It's critical for me to build that into my routine, or I pay a price. And I'll suggest to you, when you don't have exercise in your life in some way, shape, or form on a daily basis, or at least 3 to 4 times a week, you're going to give up a lot more. Because one of the most incredible things you find out, when you get in shape, how do you feel? The most incredible thing, when people get in good physical shape, they feel better, they have more self-confidence, they have more self-worth, they go out and conquer the world in a better way. They just, their whole disposition turns more positive when they're in good shape. It's an absolute fact of human nature that when we're in good shape, we feel better, so we feel better about ourselves, we have more self-confidence, and we work better. We're more disciplined, we have more energy, we sleep sounder. All these things happen. So when you look at the benefits of exercise pattern, it's absolutely an absolute no-brainer. It is a no-brainer. But the problem is what? It's easy to do, and it's easy not to do. So build that, those kind of things. When you fill out your form, everybody ought to do this today, is fill out their worksheets on each of these areas. What are you going to do? What is your one simple daily discipline? And the way he put his form was one simple daily discipline. And he wants you to start off with one because he believes that you can't do two or three. And I think you can do two or three. So if you'd like to add two or three down there, or you could list two or three that you're going to develop over the next week, month or something. But you start one at a time. And you build that discipline into being something that happens automatic for you. Okay? So that's health. So everybody got the health idea. We've got that down, and most of you have one area of it, at least, in terms of supplementation. Other categories you can do is, you know, for simple disciplines, another simple step you can take is better food selection. And you can say, well, what does that mean, Mary Jo? Well, right, because you got to get real specific. How many of you still eat at McDonald's? How many of you still love French fries? How many of you fall in love with chocolate? How many? You know, you can build simple steps in your life on a daily basis, behavioral steps, about getting rid of certain things out of your diet. How many of you still drink soda? How many of you don't drink good water? How many, you know, look at what you are doing today and look at how you need to shift and to help your health. Because, again, health, without health, you have nothing. Life without health is nothing. And many of you can sit there and say, I know, Mary Jo, because this is where I am today. And I fought back, and Manatech has allowed me to fight back to regain my life through regaining my health. Right, so why do we treat it with such lackadaisical, you know, carelessness? I don't know. It's a hard thing for me to grapple with. But I was there. I mean, there were times in my life I was pretty careless with my health. But no more. And it's about building for the future, not for how I feel tomorrow, how I feel 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Okay, second, so that's steps. Slight edge as it applies to your health, fill out your worksheet on that. The second one would be slight edge in your personal development. And one of the quotes he uses in this chapter is, you will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration. Oh, that's a great quote. Comes out of James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, and The Power of the Mind. And, of course, that's why we work so hard on personal development, because we work on our mind. Would you rather have $1 million sum in the bank, or would you rather have $1 million mindset? Would you rather have $1 million sum in the bank, or would you rather have $1 million mindset? That's the question to ask yourself. And I'm going to tell you, the answer to that should be really self-evident after you've been through this Slight Edge book. It's the concept that we saw right up front with a father with two sons. Which one wanted a penny invested every day that would double every day, and which one wanted $1 million in the bank? You'd rather have the wisdom and the mindset around $1 million building, because what happens when you have $1 million in your bank, soon that's going to be gone. For most of us, it would take less than a year or two to get rid of $1 million, really, because we always seep back to our level when we have a fixed level because of our personal development. Our inability to see the greatness or the greater, you know, abundance in this world. $1 million mindset is what's so beautiful to have, because it really doesn't matter what happens in our life. We know we can recreate no matter what happens. And I didn't have that thought all the time when I was practicing law. I didn't come from a position saying, man, if I lost this job tomorrow, I could go recreate it. I had more of that attitude when I was younger, in my 20s and 30s, but as I got in my 40s, some of that kind of dissipated. But then Manatech came along, and of course the Lord led me into that, so it wasn't about. But I still had a huge step of faith to walk away from my 20-year career to do Manatech. I had no idea. I had more insecurity 10 years ago about walking away from my law career. Today, I think it was at a presidential summit, some presidentials we were just talking around, and somebody made some comment, and they said, what would happen if this and this, and they started surmising all this negative stuff. I don't know where that came from. Obviously, they got some belief problems in their head. But they said, if Manatech went out of business. And I looked at them, and, you know, everybody was kind of like, I mean, it was like a ghost-like attitude from so many of the people that were in that discussion. And I just looked up, and I said, so we recreate it tomorrow. And they're looking at me like I was like a nut. If I lost all my income today, I would go recreate it tomorrow. Does that mean I would recreate it in one day? Probably not, but I have the total belief system that I can recreate any income any day, because there are a phenomenal amount of opportunities in this world. And it's just a matter of tapping into all those different opportunities. And sometimes they're so attractive to me, I have to step back and say, whoa, time out. I'm focused on Manitech. And that's where I'm building, and that's how I'm building people, and that's where I'm making my greatest contribution today. And the foundation is another area I'm making a huge contribution. So I have different areas, but I get so attracted to outside opportunities because there's so many of them. But that's the million-dollar mindset. I'd rather always have that because you never know when your $1 million you have in the bank is going to disappear. So it's about how do I develop myself to put myself in a posture where I have such a positive mindset about my future, every day of my future, the beauty of it, what we can create. The thought process to say you can create anything. Of course, all it is believing in Scripture as I look at it. Anything is possible through God. If you believe that Scripture, then you should have the million-dollar mindset. And that Scripture isn't about money, but it's about anything is possible. It's about you can create anything through Him. So really, truly believing in that, you can create anything. So it's not about limitation. It's not about limiting beliefs. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I can't do it until this. I'm going to wait till my ship docks. On and on. We have so much stuff that clutters our brain, that stops us dead in the water. We rationalize in so many hundreds of ways. And that's what he's talking about, self-development, personal development. We've got to work on ourselves. We have so many restrictions. The number one reason why people fail is just look in the mirror. It's you. You. You that fails, not network marketing, not anything around you. It's you. You're stuck somehow. And he even gives a beautiful story, and I'll talk about it when you get to his life. But, you know, it's all about stepping out and improving you. The greatest investment you'll ever make is an investment in you. One of the statements I make in my Pathway to Presidential book is, what you accrue in life because of what you do will pale in comparison to who you become. And I think that's an incredible statement. It's about building you. And how do you build you? What kind of activities can you develop? What kind of simple steps? What price do you have to pay? Well, one of the prices some of you are going to have to pay is the concept that you humble yourself to the fact that you need to work on you. Some people don't even see that. They don't even see it. So they lack the awareness of even seeing the need to work on you. And if you lack the awareness around that, I just highly suggest you go to championship workshop. I know they're having one out in Arizona because I got some people out there attending it this next week. I mean, they're just great things to just go and open your eyes to see what you can see. Clemmer does a lot of great work, or a personal mastery course. You'll get a ton of awareness. It's about things you don't know. But that's a price you have to pay. You might have to attend, you know, maybe you have to pay a dollar figure to buy some good books, books on tapes, books to read. I put a huge investment. For those of you who have been to my house, you know that I have, I don't know, Lydia says maybe between 500 and 1,000 volumes in my, including tape sets and things, in my library. And that library is 90% of it. It's about personal growth. It's about overcoming shortcomings and what to say to yourself when you talk to yourself. It's about power of focus. It's about having clarity. It's about leadership skills. It's about time management. It's about, I mean, my goodness, I have massive quantity of information because I want to learn. I want to continue to improve me. That's the greatest investment I can make, is to make me a better person, and that's how I look at it. So what price do I have to pay? I may have to make a financial. When am I going to start? I'm going to start today. Why am I putting it off? Am I a procrastinator? I'm going to start today. And what steps am I going to take? For some of you, you need to start making those investments. You need to go to a Clemmer event. You need to go and get some personal development. You need to go to Power of Purpose. You need to buy some books. You need to make a commitment. Here's a simple step. Simple step. It's part of my presidential or bus program. 20 minutes a day you have to spend reading a book, a good book. And I want to know what book it is. I require the knowledge of what book it is with my people. I want to know what they're reading. I don't want them reading trash, some romance novel. How is that feeding you? You want to read greatness. You want to read books from people you'd love to have as mentors in your life. Reading 20 minutes a day, a great book. And then also starting to use your time more wisely. What time you do have, the time in your car, the time at home, the time here, the time. You have so much time that you just blow every day of your life. And you can figure that out just by keeping track of your time, doing some time analysis on a weekly basis. Every hour, keep track of everything you do, and you'll see how much time you blow. How you just dismiss it is meaningless. Time is your only limited asset. So you need to find that time, find your time slots that you're carefree with, and start listening to good books. I think I talked about this the other week. I said, you know, Lydia bought me a Shuffle, a little iPod that you clip onto your shirt for Christmas this year, and I wear it every time I go to the gym. And I listen. She downloads books on it. Thank goodness she does it. I don't know the technology to do it, but I suppose I could figure it out if I took the time. But she gets a joy out of contributing to me in that way. So, you know, she feeds my Shuffle up with great books, you know. I listened to Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama. I listened to, you know, The Slight Edge she had. She also gave me some stuff from a great mentor, a coach that I've hired on the outside for myself. It's a great tool to be able to keep feeding your mind the positive things, the right things, every moment that you have the possibility of doing that. Other people go to the gym and they hook up their little headphones and they listen to the television because they have like four TVs as you ride your books or your Stepmaster or your, you know, your whatever it is. There's so many different pieces of equipment there. You can get confused. Anyway, and they're all watching TV. Well, what is that TV going to do to help me? How is it supporting me? How am I growing by watching TV? And I'm not suggesting there's nothing on television that helps you grow, but virtually nothing. How about that? So I'll give those of you who want to argue with me that there's a 2% factor on television that can help you grow. The rest of it doesn't help you grow. The rest of it is pure entertainment value. And I would call it lack of value, entertainment lack of value. It has a value because it's something else out there is entertaining you, so you don't have to feel like you have to do anything to entertain yourself. But I'm going to tell you that that's not very empowering. That's very enabling. So even that in of itself, why can't we entertain ourselves with greatness of things? Create things. Get your hands out. Go to Home Depot. Build something new. You know, read a good book. There are many ways we can entertain ourselves that are positive and reinforcing instead of relying on somebody else to entertain us. So what's your commitment there? So make your decisions for yourself about what simple steps you're going to take to support yourself in self-development. The third area he talks about is the slight edge in your relationships. And, of course, relationships are the basis for everything. In fact, that's one of the quotes out of the Clemmer book. He says, at the core of everything we do and everything we create in our life are relationships. So you better get this one down right. You better get down building relationships right, or you're in big trouble from the get-go, because that's where everything starts and ends is relationships. And the quote that he uses here is, no man is an island. And it's truly true. We live in an environment where we have people around us and we're interacting all the time in everything that we do. So we need to know how to build great and we need to commit to building great and significant relationships in our lives. He talks about one of the great ironic truths of human existence is no matter how great our accomplishments, it's ultimately the other people who give it meaning. And one of the books that he refers to, and I put it in the outline, was Citizen Kane. And it continues to rank among the best films ever made today. And it was made 60 years ago. It's because it makes this incredible, powerful statement of this truth. It says, despite all of his, we're talking about Charles Foster Kane, despite all of his larger-than-life accomplishments, his millions, his international power as a kingmaker and breaker, in the final hour of his life, he was consumed by one single thought, and that was the anguish over being ripped from his childhood and thrust into a world alone at the age of 8. This great, great, great man had no one to share his conquests and accomplishments with. So here's another one, the importance of relationships. And Jeff Olson ties it back to the comment he made about health. He said, I could make the same comment. One of the most commonly known truths of human existence and one of the most commonly and blatantly ignored is the importance of relationships. How many times have you seen successful businessmen who are off the charts, wealthy beyond belief, but they have no friends? They have no closeness. They have no camaraderie. They have no team. They have no people who truly love them, and they don't truly love any people. They've fallen in that trap of following success at a tremendous cost in their life. So relationships, too, just like everything else, have that slight edge curve up or down. The little things we do either build on relationships or they take away. So we have to start looking at what are the little things we can do every day that make a difference. And I started doing this in my marriage, too. We do it in our marriage, with our children, with our nieces, nephews, with our cousins, with our loved ones, with our church members, What are the little things that we can do every day? Easy to do, but you know what? Easy not to do. And when I started looking at my marriage, I started making a decision that on the road I would call my husband every single night. And I do it every time. And at first it was hard. The price I had to pay is I had to discipline myself to do it. I had to take the time out. I might have had to break into a conversation and go, you know, break away from a group to go do it, because sometimes I'm speaking on the West Coast and it's way past time where he might go to bed, so I needed to take the time out while I was in the midst of meeting with people to just make that 1 minute, 2 minute phone call. It doesn't have to be an hour. It just needs to be time. It needs to be an acknowledgement of you caring and loving for somebody. And what a difference that's made. The other thing I started doing is that even when I'm home, I try to call him every day at work. And the other day, he made a comment to me. He says, "Do you know how much joy it's been for me over the last 6 months?" I go, "What's that, honey?" And he said, "You know, you call me almost every day at work. And it's just, no matter what it is, it's so pleasant to hear from you." And I just thought, wow, there's a slight edge. There is a slight edge. I started doing it because I just thought it was a more thoughtful way to approach the marriage. And you know what? It doesn't pay off in 1 week or 2 weeks or 2 months or six. But you know what? The payout is there. It's incredible, the benefits you accrue from it. One little simple act of kindness that takes you a minute to do. Easy to do, easy not to do. Simple steps. Kids can be the same way. I have a niece and nephew that came into my life because of my brother's death. And I call them every week. It's like easy to do, easy not to do. Sometimes I even get mad at myself because if I forget or if I wait till the last minute, it's like, oh, come on, Mary Jo, you need to call them. And I call them and just drop a note. It doesn't matter whether I get a hold of them or not. Just for me to leave a little message on the telephone is so much fun and so much joy. But it's a constant contact, that caring, that loving spirit that I can spew out in 1 minute or less. My goodness, what a difference it makes in people's lives. And how many times do we take the time to do that? Simple steps that are on the slight edge in boosting relationships we have with people. And how many people do we do that from our high school class, those of us now in our 50s, or from other walks and paths in our lives? How many people are we really touching? When we tell people we're praying for them, how many do we really get back in touch with and say, "Hey, how are you doing? I was praying for you. I'm just wondering how everything came out." Or do we just say, "Oh, I'm praying for you," and we use that as language that comes out of our mouth? No meaning, no substance behind it, just language because it sounds good. Wow. So what are we going to do different in our relationships? A good worksheet is attached to the outline on that as well. So look at your relationships and see how you can make a difference there. The next category he talks about is he talks about your finances. And he took another quote out of Vince Lombardi that I loved. It was, "Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing." And both of them are habitual. You're either creating successes in your life. Now, you can have some failures intermixed or mistakes intermixed, whatever you want to call them. But those are always incredible journeys because they're journeys to understand better what to do better next time. There's pain involved in making a mistake. But you know what's so beautiful about it is that you learn how to be better next time. And that's what we take away from it. If you're not taking that away from pain, so many of us, when we have painful situations, we shut down and we try to rationalize why we're right instead of saying, "Wow, how could I have been different? How could I have done something different?" Without any guilt or shame or blame, get rid of all that junk that you carry from childhood. It's all junk. And just come from, "How could I have been different? How could I have taken a different tack? How could I have created a different result?" And then step into creating different results. And sometimes it's not, the other person could be totally at fault. It doesn't matter who's at fault. It's just, how could you be different to avoid those kind of responses? And sometimes being different means you're going to have to maybe cut that person out of your life in a more significant way because they're just breeding more and more negativity and tearing you apart. And you got to make some of those tough decisions, too, in your life. But it's truly about building a winning habit in your life, not losing habits. Building winning habits, surrounding yourself with winning people. And it's no accident that the way he started this book out was with three stories. You'll remember them, the frogs, right, that jumped in the milk pail, the water hyacinth, and then the penny. No accident the slight edge started out with the story of the penny when we talk about the slight edge in your finances. Because when you really look at a penny and you think about it doubling every single day, you can see the picture of, and you can see the results compounded day in and day out, creating incredible results. So everybody really recognizes the power of compounded interest, don't they? No, they don't. And that's what Jeff says in his book. Absolutely not. We're still waiting for our boat to dock. We're still waiting for the lottery ticket. We don't get that as a society. We're really stuck. We're into immediate gratification. We have a I spend what I make attitude. In fact, I'll give you a statistic. I don't know if I talked about this the other week, but I read a newspaper article about a week or two ago, and it just, again, shocked my conscience one more time about where America's going. They reported that the savings rate in this country for the year of 2006, last year, our savings rate in the United States last year was minus 1% as a country, minus 1%. It was the second year of the last three where we had a negative savings rate in this country. The only other time in the history of the United States of America where that was true was during the Great Depression. We're hardly in a Great Depression, but we're in an incredible morass of spending more than we make. We're in an incredible, massive debt-based society today that's destroying the fabric of family, the fabric of our lives, the fabric of our abilities to even produce, financially be stable, because we're way overspending. Jeff Olson talks about the book that came out, The Millionaire Next Door, in 1998. Very contrary, bucking the trend of our society as just spend, buy, anything. As long as I can meet the monthly payment, I'm okay. The Millionaire Next Door took exactly the opposite approach, and it became a bestseller overnight. Still is a great book and still is a great seller. It taught seven rules, the first of which was to live below your means. And that's truly one of the attitudes Jeff Olson takes. He put his family on a program where they had to live off of $4,000 a month until he had $1 million after tax sitting in a bank account. And then he allowed him to go to five. It wasn't about living off of the money you make. It was about living off of a budget. It's about forcing yourself to live below your means. The only way you're going to get ahead in life is living below your means. Everybody get that? That's a simple concept, but nobody gets it. We want to live beyond our means. We want to live somebody else's money. And that's what we do every time we use that credit card, is we're living off of somebody else's money. So what can you do to make difference? There's a great program out there. In fact, our church is introducing it. David Ramsey does a program, Dave Ramsey. It's called Financial Peace University. And you can look him up on the internet. You can order some of his books, but incredible program. And we're at our church, we're starting to implement it. It's like a 11 or 12 week session, 11, 12 weeks that they have different sessions. On Saturday of this week, if you happen to be in the Dallas area, Dave Ramsey's going to be at the Potter's House, which is T.D. Jakes Church, from 1 to 6, doing a presentation. Great opportunity to attend that. I mean, just incredible what you can learn about just managing your finances, the things you need to do different, the little simple steps you need to take to create a different result, and compounded over time will create phenomenal results. And listening to the testimonials out of this Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University is just the slight edge. That's all it is. I was listening to it. They had a little program on Sunday morning at our church. They did a little video clip of it. And I was smiling to myself as I saw the slight edge. Every testimonial was another slight edge. They talked about, man, I just learned what Dave taught us about this simple thing, and we did it for a year, and we paid off $30,000 in debt. If you would have told me 12 months ago I was going to pay off $30,000, I would have said it's impossible with what we have in our lives to pay off $30,000 in debt. And just little simple things, and I start smiling. I was just smiling because I said, there's the slight edge. That's what it's about. So what are you going to do different in your life financially? What are you going to do different to make a difference? What simple steps are you going to take, a simple discipline every day that's going to make a difference in your life? You've got to determine that for yourself. But you can go to courses like Dave Ramsey's and other things out there. If you don't have the education or you don't understand how or you don't see a way, let some of these brilliant people out here, strong Christian-based groups out there that can really help you develop the path to financial freedom. And the last category he talked about besides finances was the category of life. What is your legacy? What will people remember you for after you have come and gone? And that really is kind of a category that encompasses every other category. It's the all-inclusive one. It's the bigger picture. It's the heart of a samurai, if you look at a Klemmer project. It's truly the bigger statement that we play life too small. So if we're going to step out of playing life too small, what are we going to create in our life? And now some of you go, well, Joe, my gosh, if I have that vision, what are you dreaming about for your life? How do I take it and put it into bite-sized pieces? Well, that's all you need to do. Don't get overwhelmed by the sheer size or the magnitude of what you picture yourself. What you need to do is you have to say, what are the bite-sized pieces? What are the simple steps I need to take each day to create that legacy in my life? And that's the last worksheet that you have, again, attached to the outline that you can put down and scratch on. Okay, people, that's chapter 11. Huge. Just basically how I apply Slight Edge to my life. What do I need to be doing differently? And it just smacks you right across the head. It just says, hey, time for us to start working on ourselves. Great reading a book. Great stuff in Jeff Olson's book. But what does it mean for me? Well, time to get the worksheets out and applying it every day. Simple to do, simple not to do. But at least put your energy around the worksheets. Put it on paper. Start making some commitments to yourself around those little disciplines. And what a huge difference it'll make in your life. Huge. Compounded over time, gigantic difference. His chapter 12 really gets into just commenting about it's a wonderful life. Where do we go from here? No, for things to change, you need to change. So you need to work on your philosophy first, because your philosophy is the source of all your attitudes, your actions, your results, and the quality of your life. In chapter 12, he gives a whole history of his life. He talks about the story about how he was a bum, beach bum, sitting on the beach surfing one day in his college years, and he was laying on the beach drinking, you know, hanging out with his buddies, and all of a sudden, there was like this incredible change that hit him. It just hit him like a whole stack of bricks. And not everybody has this aha moment that they can step into and say, oh, this is what happened to me. But he said he was on the beach one day, and he finally reached a level of disgust. He stared squarely at a fork in the road, and he calls it. That's what he refers to this day in his life. He has a specific day. Some of you can relate to this from your day you committed your life to Christ. That's a significant day. Woo, boy, those you don't forget. But he calls this his day of disgust. That moment of impact we sometimes hit in our lives when we face our circumstances and make a decision that it's time to change. And what he did, he was a beach bum, and he all of a sudden knew he had to do something different. So he stood up, he threw all his drinks away, he put all of his stuff, packed up all of his stuff, got in his car, drove back to school, and he took on college in a whole new way. That semester, for the first time in his life, he got straight A's. He went on to business school, graduated at the top of his class, fresh out of business school, went to TI, learned a lot 5 years at that job. Then he decided that wasn't, corporate America wasn't for him. He went out and he started business after business, became a multimillionaire in his 20s. And then he lost it all. Times changed, tax laws changed, industry has hit hard, and he lost everything. And he started looking back at his life in his late 20s, early, now he's broke. He's more broke than he was when he was a beach bum. And he was saying to himself, this isn't fair. Why can this happen? It's impossible. I lived a failure all my life. I woke up one day, I'm a multimillionaire. The next day I woke up and I'm back to being a failure. And he started looking at and examining more carefully what had happened in his life. And that's when he started seeing the things that he had done. You can work really hard to achieve things and work, but the first time in years, he decided that he had gone through all the sequence of incredible experiences, and he said what things worked and what things didn't work. And that's where he finally made the discovery of the daily disciplines in life that totally change your life. And it's not about events that might happen in your life. It's about implementing daily disciplines every day in your life. And that's how he discovered and explored the Slight Edge. And he has since, become a multimillionaire again. But based on not hitting a home run ball, not his ship docking, not being lucky to hit a right industry, based on doing little disciplines every day. So that's what he tells us to do. All we have to do is, you know, take our path in our life. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. Learn from all your experiences. But just make the distinction between what successful people do and what successful people do, and what unsuccessful people don't do, because that's truly the difference. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are unwilling to do. Successful people never blame circumstances or other people. They take full responsibility for their lives. They don't look for shortcuts. They don't hope for the big breakthrough. They just do the little simple things every day of their life, the path of mastery, because they know what it'll bring. Successful people use inertia to build momentum. So they don't start, stop, just like we do in Manatech. I have people all the time. They go, oh, well, Mary Jo, I'm going to take the next 3 weeks off. I go, I got a gal that does that every year. She takes 3 months off. What do you think she is? She's not presidential. She's not even executive. Has enough volume to be executive, but she's not there. I'm going to take 3 months off. Easy to do, easy not to do. How do you have momentum in your business? You don't. It's impossible. You can't create momentum by taking time off. You got to create momentum by continuous, repetitive behavior. Taking the same action day in, day out, doing it over and over again. Contacting new people every day. Make it part of who you are, what you do, and that's what creates success. Successful people are always asking, who am I spending my time with? They're always making an evaluation. This is a very hard thing for most of us because we don't want to walk away from friends. We love, and I'm not telling you to walk away from friends. I'm just telling you to evaluate the time you spend with people that aren't serving you. People aren't positive and looking forward and aren't supporting you to be the best you can be. Surround yourself with those kind of people. I can't begin to tell you how critical it is to have a mastermind group or a group that really supports you. And every time you have a request, they pray about it. They're supporting you. They're behind you 1,000% in the direction you want to take. Successful people read at least 10 pages of a powerful, life-transforming book every day. They listen to 15 minutes of educational inspirational tapes. Successful people work on their philosophy. They understand they can increase their success by doubling their rate of failure. They understand activity, and because they do the thing, they have the power. They understand activity. They understand the power of simple things, the power of daily disciplines. They understand the power of the water hyacinth and know how to use it. Remember, planting the water hyacinth in the pond. And within 60 days later, it covered the entire pond. The power of compounding interest. They understand the slight edge and they put it to work for them. That's the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people. So you need to find your penny. What is it? Work on it. Compound it over time. Day in, day out, create whatever you choose to create in your life. But it's the slight edge that makes that difference. Are we back?
I don't think it was pretty drunk and on the bio. You know.
Okay, I need people to stop if you're not on mute. Let's get some feedback, get some comments. Go ahead, questions, comments.
Mary Jo, that was great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Comments about slight edge? Can you see how it can apply in your life? Do you see where you want to make changes right now?
Life-changing.
It is life-changing.
Mary Jo, where do you get the CD for that?
Where do you get the CD set for the slight edge? Networking time.
Networking? Okay.
Networking time. Yeah.
I'd like to play that for myself, son.
Yeah, you want to get that. And put, I got somebody using a train in the background, maybe? Choo-choo train?
Sounds like a blender.
Or blender. I love it. These people are really something. Star 6, please.
I can't hear you. He's running a blender.
Right? Whoever's running the blender, please take us off the call. Thank you. Okay, who else? Yeah, slight edge you can get. You can play that on your iPod or whatever. Just keep planting it in your brain. But, you know, in all the work that we've been through in this book, which has been the last month or so, is there anything that's, like, overwhelmingly brilliant to any of this?
They look like all the same thing to me. I'm not communicating what the request is.
That's Linda Gaffney in the background. Yeah, thank you, Linda. I can even recognize voices on this phone. Okay, so people, really, when you look at slight edge, is there anything overwhelmingly intellectually, challenging to anyone in the slight edge?
No.
isn't that the simplicity of what this book has to offer is what makes it overwhelming. It's so simple. It is so basic. It is so straightforward. It's just the concept of getting the idea that we create our lives every day by the simple and small things that we do or don't do. What do we do and what do we don't do? And if I talk to you about all the habits we talked about today when I gave suggestions in each of the categories, I bet most of you sat back and said, oh, you know, I did that one time, or I tried that before, or I set my path out. How many of you committed to read 20 pages of a book, a good book, every day? Right?
Yeah.
A lot of us have done it. But what happens to us? We stop doing it. For some reason, something gets in the way, and we stop doing it. Because we don't put a level of importance, because how can it be that important to read 20 pages today? Instead of saying to yourself, it's important because it's the compounding of what I'm doing today and what I'm creating 5 years from now. Quit looking at what it means in the immediate, right now, today moment, and start evaluating the things you do and what they're going to create for you 5 years from now. Now you can start making better decisions for yourself and committing to things
listening
every day, day in, day out, getting disciplined about it, right? That's how simple this book is. Okay, any other comments from the field?
Who's washing dishes? Stop it.
I know. Thank you, Scott.
Mary Jo, I have one quote that I got from Candy G.
Okay.
Is that, did you aim too high and miss, or aim too low and hit?
Black with your pants.
That's a great quote. Did you aim too high and miss, or aim too low and hit? Wow. And that's about, are you playing life too small? Right?
Mary Jo, I have a
question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, on the first page, it said by Robert Kiyosaki, your income will never exceed for long your own level of potential development. It doesn't make sense. Could you either clarify that now or kind of email us?
Yeah, great, great, great. Your income will never exceed for long your own level of personal development. Okay, and that really doesn't come from Robert Kiyosaki. That's not his quote. That's a quote out of the book. But what that is saying is, it's saying that if you don't work on you, if you don't start developing you, if you don't build in you a millionaire mindset, if you don't start opening up abundance and breaking down all the negative beliefs and the negative programs running your life, the concepts of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I fear this, it's not going to work, you know, network marketing doesn't work, people aren't going to pay $100 a month, all the stuff. If we don't start working on ourselves from a self-development perspective and getting around all these programs, we are going to forever limit the amount of income we'll ever make. You might go out and become a millionaire, and you've probably seen this in your life where you've seen people make a million and lose a million, right?
Yep.
Somehow they seep back down to their level. It's the same concept that occurs when people win the lottery. The majority of people, there's a statistic out there, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's a majority of the people that have won the lottery, let's say they're making $40,000 a year in a job, they win the lottery, $20 million, $30 million. Within 5 years, they're back to $40,000 a year. They've flown through it all. Have you heard that?
Yep, oh yeah.
And that's the exact reason. Read that statement and you'll see what it means. Because they don't have a mindset to be able to understand abundance. They have a scarcity mentality. They have a program saying, I have to be in control. I have to win. I have to be right. I'm afraid of rejection. There's thousands of sunglasses we all wear every day that we don't even know that we wear. It's stuff that we got when we were children, when we were raised, how we were brought up. And if we don't knock those barriers down, there's not going to be any freedom for us to continue to grow and blossom and create incredible things. When you talk to anybody in this world who's created incredible things in their life, you're going to find out that they went through a transformation of recognizing that they had to dispose of these limiting beliefs that they had in their life. And that you do that through self-development work. Okay? Does that help you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And the reason I put Robert Kiyosaki's name on the outline in that exact place was because if you go back and you read Kiyosaki's book, one of my favorites, of course, he's got Cash Flow Quadrants, and he's got plenty of them out there, but he has one that's called The Business School for People Who Like Helping People, okay, by Robert Kiyosaki. And in that book, he'll tell you his favorite industry is network marketing. And the reason it's his favorite industry, people say, well, Mary Jo, because you can make unlimited income. Nope. Well, Mary Jo, because you can be financially free. Nope. Well, Mary Jo, and I go, no. The number one reason he gives for why he loves network marketing is because it's the only industry he's ever come across that makes such an incredible dedication to self-development. That's why he loves network marketing. So we need to make that dedication if we're going to move forward. And that means going out to, you know, Teresa Romaine's and the Brian Clemmer's and the, just really, you know, and that's why I put such a dedication on these calls and these training calls and in my pathway class around personal development. Because I know if I don't help you move, things aren't going to move in your life. You need to change to make things change. That definitely,
yeah, I read his book, A Good Dad, Poor, or A Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep, that's a great book too.
Oh.
Cash Flow Quadrants. Yep. But again, for you to change, you know, for things to change, you need to change, right? Got it?
Yep.
Mary
sure
Jo,
did.
What's the name of Robert Kiyosaki's book?
It's called For People. Well, here, hang on a second. I just read it off the shelf.
Business School for People Who
Like People. It's called The Business. Here's Kiyosaki's book. The Business School for People Who Like Helping People by Robert Kiyosaki.
Mary Jo,
you very much.
I think you have to get. I think you have
awesome,
to get it,
lady.
Online. I think you have to get it.
There,
like,
find it.
It's hard to find.
Hard to find
bookstore.
That book?
Well, I don't know that they actually put it out to bookstores.
Uh huh. Well, you can go online and try to buy it from used book places online.
Yeah, I think I got it from
Amazon.com. Lydia's yelling in the background.
Okay.
Okay.
She just loves you.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The part where on the last page, successful people understand that they can increase their success by doubling their rate of failure. Can you explain that?
Yeah.
A little better?
Explain it.
Yeah, that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? And the whole issue there is this, that we learn by our mistakes. That people who, successful people take on any action. We go out and we'll try anything because we have zero fear of failure. Zero. If something doesn't work for us, we learn from it, and we catapult ourselves in a better posture to do it better next time. So we thrive on failure because we understand that failure is just a learning experience to catapult us into a more successful venture the next time around. Does that make sense to you?
Okay, so instead of by doubling, it could have been maybe whenever they double their rate of failure.
That quote comes directly out of the book.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Directly a smack out of the book. That's right, per se, what Jeff Olson says. Successful people understand that they can become successful by doubling their rate of failure. And it really is an attitude about, hey, if I fail today or fail tomorrow, it's A-okay. The more I fail is the greater amount of success I'm going to achieve.
Okay, I get it now.
You get it? You bet.
Now, don't let the fearmonger get you.
So exactly, that's the nail. That is the nail in the coffin of so many people's lives. They plug that nail down because they're so afraid of making a mistake. So we don't want to do that.
Mary Jo, if we look at Babe Ruth, the home run hitter, it was because he had the most strikeouts also, so he was up at bat more.
You bet. And that's what, you know what, and Michael Jordan has had the most game-winning shots in the history of all NBA, Michael Jordan. And you know what? He had the most game-winning shots that he missed that would have been game-winning shots. You can look at Edison and you can look at Abraham Lincoln. They are all extreme failures. Edison, I don't remember how many times, but it was something like 200, 300, 400 times that he created the light bulb incorrectly before he finally got it right. 1,000 times, was it?
I think it was 10,000 times he tried
to put it on. I don't know. It's some ridiculous number.
It's something ridiculous. It's not a billboard here.
It's absurd. And if you talk about failure, there's a doubling failure. That was quadrupling, multiplying by tenfold the number of failures before he had success. And that's life. That is just life. We keep trying, and we have the whole concept here, people, is total persistence. Persistence and perseverance, the stick-to-itiveness that you need to make things work in life. And that's just what it's about. It's the same thing with you going out and sharing Manatech today. You're going to share it with five people. You could have five people up the next morning, jump up and down, jumping jacks, and say, I'm ready to go at it again. That's what makes the difference. You don't
Mary
let
Jo?
Anything stand in your way. Yeah.
Hey, Joe. This is Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
On the cruise, either Carol or Bill Merlot said, get your 100 no's.
Yeah.
What they were saying is that once you get your 100 no's, you're probably going to be presidential.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Here's another thing that was on a different call yesterday. Of the people who stuck with a single network marketing company for 10 years, do you know how many, what percentage of those people are at the top level of their country, their company, industry-wide?
I bet you it's like 90%.
Very good, 95%.
Wow.
So all we have
I wasn't
to do
on the call, but I would tell you that, absolutely.
Oh.
Because
well, I've got one
it.
More year.
Yeah, yeah, Scott just got one.
That's exactly what I said yesterday.
I'm going to run way over time. Love you all. We'll talk next week. Okay, have a great week. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.